This podcast is brought to you by Radio Reverb. If you like what you hear, please support us by donating online at radioreverb.com.
The What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
We are halfway through season 7 of the worldwide hit TV show Game of Thrones. Magical landscapes and jaw-dropping scenery are part of what defines the show, which is largely shot in Northern Ireland, and it's for that reason a lot of people visit the country to explore just some of the settings from the show. To talk about this, I am joined by Brian Toomey right now of Tourism Ireland. Hello, Brian.
Good morning, Anthony.
How are you? How are things?
I'm very well indeed, and as we're midway through the latest season of Game of Thrones, it's a very exciting time for us.
It is. Now, a lot of people will know the parts of the show have been filmed in Northern Ireland. What parts of the country exactly are we talking about?
Yeah, they've been shooting since the start. We're now into season 7, so it's over 7 years. And many of the locations are along the coastline, the Down and Antrim coastline, but also the main studio used for the production is the Titanic Studios, which are based in Belfast.
Yeah, so a lot of the kind of indoor scenes and post-production will be done there, I believe.
That's right. And because obviously CGI features quite heavily in Game of Thrones, locations aren't always recognisable when you visit Northern Ireland, but there are some that are highly recognisable. Perhaps the Dark Hedges, which is the King's Road, is one of the most iconic. It's interlocking trees, which is a very dark and eerie but iconic location, but also Winterfell, which is Castle Ward in County Down, and also Ballintoy Harbour, which is the Pike and Iron Islands in the show. So there are some locations that, to a visitor, they're exactly as you would see in the show.
So I suppose these locations, these physical locations that we're talking about, they're in use part of the year while filming. How much time does it take up of those locations a year? How much of their schedule does the filming take up?
Well, amazingly, the Dark Hedges was only used in season 1 for about a minute, but it's one of the most recognisable images of the show. So if you go any day of the week there, you will see loads of tourists visiting and wanting to recreate that experience. So some locations are not open to the public, and these would be locations that are for big setups. But the other locations, they're accessible throughout the year because they would have been used in previous episodes. So those locations that I mentioned, particularly the likes of the Dark Hedges, but also Ballintoy, and perhaps Castle Ward, which is Winterfell, and that is a huge on-the-ground experience where you can dress up and fight people with swords or shoot arrows, so you can become almost like brought back in time and be part of the series yourself.
Wow, that's really, really cool. So when did Tourism Ireland start getting involved with kind of marketing the locations? Because it's a great opportunity. As you said, a lot of these locations are there, they pre-exist and they're open to the public. When did the campaign relating to Game of Thrones get going?
Okay, we've been dealing with HBO since about 2014. So initially, it wasn't on our radar. And it was our ad agency in London who said, listen, there's a huge opportunity here. This is the biggest show in the world. 70% of the production occurs in Northern Ireland. This is an opportunity to reach a new audience. So we were in discussions with them for about 6 months to really come up with an idea that would work for them, would work for their fans, and would create a campaign for us. So the brief we said was, you know, we wanted to create a bridge between the fantasy of the show and the reality of Northern Ireland as a visitor destination. And our campaigns have grown in stature and audaciousness since then. Really, we had freedom to come up with very unusual campaigns for a tourist destination, but campaigns that resonated with the fans and gave them a reason to come to Northern Ireland.
And what kind of countries are you kind of campaigning in then? Because I'm assuming there's a few places, a few hotbeds where Game of Thrones is really, really, really popular.
Yeah, Game of Thrones, as I say, it is the most successful TV show in the world and also the most illegally downloaded show in the world. And HBO are quite comfortable with that. They wear that as a badge of pride. It is a global phenomenon, you know, and we market our campaign in about 12 markets. They're all markets like the US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, GB, France, Germany, Spain, Italy. Game of Thrones is everywhere. It's ubiquitous. And they are all destinations that we are growing business from. Mm. So this really was a great opportunity. We coined the people who travel to a show, we're calling them set jetters, as distinct from jet setters. These are people who want to visit the location that inspired their show. And perhaps the model that we're following is the Lord of the Rings in New Zealand. And they capitalized on that. And all that was a film series. The beauty of this is a show that's been going on for 7 years and there's about a year and a half left in it. So this is really a gift that keeps giving and is hugely relevant to Northern Ireland and to the fans of the show.
Exactly. And what kind of reaction have you had from the campaign then? Have people, I suppose initially, were they surprised that Northern Ireland was so heavily involved with Game of Thrones?
Perhaps they were. You know, that was the opportunity to us to communicate that in a fun way, in the tone of voice of Game of Thrones. We negotiated with HBO that Northern Ireland could become the first official Game of Thrones territory, and no other destination involved in the shoot, I suppose, asked for that. And using our Irish charm, we simply said, you know, we'd love to work with you, and we believe we could bring something to the party. Mm. And so each year we produced very different campaigns, but we struck gold last year when some of the trees from the Dark Ages fell down, and we turned those into iconic pub doors on the tour of shooting locations. So we crafted the storyline of each of the 10 episodes onto a door which was installed in a location. And now you can get a passport to visit each of those doors, and they tell the story and the association with the show, and the craftsmanship of the doors are world class as well. So that's just putting tangible product experiences on the ground. So when the fans come to Northern Ireland, they say, what can we see? What can we touch? What can we photograph? So the doors was our first sort of tangible, semi-permanent experience that we actually put on the ground in Northern Ireland.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So that's a really great photo op, really, for a lot of tourists, isn't it?
Indeed. It's sort of quirky, because if you think people were really disappointed when some of the beech trees fell, and through sort of brainstorm, we said, well, let's acquire the wood and decide what we can do with it. And by turning into a sort of a disaster and rebirthing it as an iconic door is a great sense of recycling in a positive way. Mm. And for the fans of the show, they love the idea. And the doors are very visual and very photographic in their own right. But the outlets have seen a huge uplift on their business, because people want to come and visit these doors. They're very unique, and there's only 10 of them anywhere in the world. You know, so it's again playful. Playful, but relevant to the show and relevant to what people can actually see when they visit Northern Ireland.
Very clever. And you've also kind of recently unveiled a tapestry, a 77-metre tapestry with scenes from the show. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, again, these crazy ideas we seem to come up with. I suppose we've grown confidence on the back of our campaigns. Our campaign for The Doors won in excess of 35 international awards, including the highest award, which is a gold at Cannes, the Creativity Festival. So that gives us the courage to keep pushing the boundaries. And what we wanted to do was create something that was iconic but relevant to Northern Ireland. And then through our sort of creative agency, they said, well, let's think of the Bayeux Tapestry, which is a tapestry that captures the history between France and Britain over the years. It took 10 years to make. But we said, why couldn't we create something longer than that? And we did it in 9 weeks. And basically, the length of it is, when it's finished, is 77 metres. So seven series by 11 metres, that's 77 metres. The Bayeux Tapestry is 70 metres. So we wanted to come up with something slightly longer. But the dimensions are very similar. It is long insofar as it's 77 metres, but it's shallow in that it's a half metre. But it is now on show in the Ulster Museum, and it snakes its way through each of the episodes in huge detail. Again, to the fans of the show, it's something you have to see, because they can relive all those high points and low points of the show in almost three-dimensional tapestry that is made from Irish linen.
Wow. And you're adding scenes to that as this season goes along as well, I believe.
Exactly. When you go to it in the Ulster Museum, you can see in real time the actual weaving taking place on screen. And that piece will then be bolted onto the tapestry, or bolted, artistically attached each week. So the tapestry is a living representation of the show. And through our online app, you can actually, it's highly searchable. So you can search it by theme, by character. and you can zoom in huge detail to see the level of intricacy and craftsmanship involved in the tapestry.
Wow. All these fantastic ideas. How are the kind of the locals getting involved? What do they think of all this, all these kind of ideas and these
They're very positive because it's good for business. You know, we estimate that in excess of 50,000 people a year come to Northern Ireland for a Game of Thrones experience. So that's the primary reason of coming. And that's worth about 18 million sterling per annum. So the benefits to the community of Game of Thrones are immeasurable. And it's a positive contemporary story for Northern Ireland, which is great given its history. So I think they're very positive about it. The museum are more than happy because they are now attracting a totally new audience who would never go to a museum.
That's true.
And we're employing about 15 embroiderers who then craft onto the tapestry using gold thread, silver thread. So you get a three-dimensional effect in the color of hair or fire, or the sort of the drama of the show is recaptured through ancient crafts, or we brought those back to life in a relevant and contemporary way. So it's a real win-win for all people associated with the show. And now we've created perhaps the ultimate must-see experience anywhere in the world for Game of Thrones.
Now, you mentioned a bit earlier on about there being about a year and a half left in the show before it finishes up.
Yeah, it will come to an end. The show will leave town, but we want to make sure there's experience on the ground. This is Series 7, which is only 7 episodes. They're longer than the previous. Series 8 may not air till the beginning of 2019. And that will be it. But that's 8 years of having a marketing tool to leverage new audience, which is priceless. And we get the benefit, like HBO have dealt with us and given us their IPO to use their logos at no cost to us, which, again, is really unusual. They don't need us, but they trust that we will come up with good ideas that help get the story of the show out to new audiences.
Fantastic. And do you see tourism from the show kind of lasting quite a while after it finishes up?
Yeah, it's always hard to gauge, but I see no reason not. If you look at New Zealand, they created Hobbiton, so there's reasons to still visit there long after the show. And if you're inspired by a show or you're a great fan, you will still want to visit locations. And we still have it with the likes of The Quiet Man, which is 60 years old, or Ryan's Daughter, which is 50 years old. So people still want to go to the locations, although the infrastructure will have all gone, whereas in this case, we will have still unique elements that are a legacy of the show. So no reason to believe people won't continue to visit Northern Ireland.
Fantastic. And listen, if people want to find out what exactly is involved and where to go and what experiences are available, where is the best place to go and find out online?
Yeah, Ireland.com, which is our website, gives you access straight to the interactive app and tells you everything you need to know about Game of Thrones, locations to visit, tour experiences. So that's perhaps a one-stop shop for everything you need to know, both about the show and the show's direct connection with Northern Ireland. And the app will really give you a very good three-dimensional experience of the tapestry without having to go to Northern Ireland. But we will always recommend that it's best to go to Belfast and see it in the flesh.
Perfect. Well, listen, Brian, enjoy the rest of the season if you're a fan, and I'm sure you are after all of this. And thanks very much for coming on and chatting to us.
That's a pleasure, Anthony. Nice to talk to you.
You've been listening to a Radio Reverb podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and to hear more podcasts like this, check out RadioReverb.com.